And turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 3. We'll be reading 1 through 18, the entirety of the chapter this Lord's Day evening. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version, which is the translation in your pew Bibles. Ruth chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and reading through verse 18. Let us hear these words as they are, the word of the Almighty God, inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning. There rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." The inspired word of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for redemption. And thank you for bringing clarity to the glory of Christ our Lord as our Redeemer, in all the redemption evident in the different generations of the covenant of grace. We thank you for Old Testament redemptive history, that it points us to Christ, each and every testimony within. And Father, we thank you that that is true in this text, as we see Boaz, Ruth, Naomi, all three have their faith in the promises of Messiah to come. Father, thank you that indeed the object of their faith is the same as ours. Thank you that we in our time know the name of Messiah, now that he has come the first time, the name of Jesus. And Father, thank you for your promise that he will come again. And indeed, we will be glorified and in his holy presence face to face forever. And thank you for persevering us and persevering Ruth and Boaz. Indeed, until that day, Naomi too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it's important as the text begins in these verses. This is probably the most controversial passage within the entire book of Ruth, and much abuse has been done to it. But there is very deep consistency within the text, and we need to walk through where the inspired author of Ruth has taken us up to this point. It's important to note that Ruth's faith has been an encouragement to Naomi's faith in the living God. It is vital to the interpretation of the text. If you remember, Naomi considered herself as good as dead. She did not have other sons to carry on her family line, as her 2 sons had died in Moab, and so she had no means through which to provide for herself and for either of her 2 daughters-in-law. To review, Naomi's husband Elimelech lived in Bethlehem at a time when the distinctions between pagans and God's covenant people were far too blurred. And Elimelech left the promised land during a time of physical famine that reflected the spiritual famine in the land of the Israelites, God's chosen people. And so indeed he died outside the promised land. And both of his sons too, Chilion and Mahlon, married pagan wives. And they both died in Moab, like their father, outside of the promised land. And Naomi thinks, and she is explicit in Ruth chapter 1, that she understands God's plan for her. She thinks she is under the curse for being married to a man who turns his back to the promises of God and the promised land to live among the pagans. And so it is when her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, seek to follow her back to Bethlehem, where God has visited his people, as we read in chapter 1, Ruth tells them to go home, to stay in the land of the pagans. If you remember, Orpah agrees and leaves, but Ruth commits to make Naomi's God, the God of Israel, her God. And so she goes with her destitute and broken-hearted mother-in-law back to the promised land, back to Bethlehem, where our Lord would be born. Now, Ruth did the Old Testament equivalent of meeting with the deacons once that she had arrived in Bethlehem. She used the Old Testament means to be blessed by God's provision for her through the mercy ministry of the Old Testament church. If you remember, she went out into the fields to glean, with means to follow behind the harvesters who were to leave some of the harvest behind them so that those who were less fortunate could come behind and could provide for themselves and for their families. And Boaz, encouraged by her faith as a Moabite as though she was in the God of Israel, and seeing her desire to provide for her mother-in-law, Naomi, sent her home in that gleaning with an abundance of grain. And Naomi makes the key statement in Ruth chapter 20, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi's faith has been encouraged indeed, and that's so important because much that has been written about these first five verses in Ruth chapter 3 has been from the perspective that Naomi is out to forsake the law of God when it comes to purity and marriage, and it simply is not so. The world is all too eager to see Naomi encouraging Ruth to try to seduce Boaz. And the opposite, that is not at all what is going on here. If you remember, Boaz is a godly man. If we look at verses chapter 1, verse 4, do you remember what his language was to his workers? "The Lord be with you." And they answered in kind. Again, as we go further, Ruth has been blessed by Boaz for being a godly woman, as Naomi is known for being a godly Israelite. And indeed, Boaz commends Ruth for being a blessing to her godly mother-in-law. Finally, the word cloak in verse 3 is the key language within the first five verses. There are all sorts of words for the seductive gowns worn in the evening that were connected with the immorality that was all too rampant in the time of the judges. But that's not the term that is used in the Hebrew here. She is to wear the very modest garb of the worker. And that is very important in terms of what Naomi's plan for her is and what Naomi's is in terms of Boaz. So what is going on in verses 1 through 5 in terms of this encouragement to Ruth to go and meet Boaz in this time and in this place? Naomi is encouraging her Moabite daughter-in-law to be provided for by a godly husband who is available to her in God's law. He is, as she has said, a relative. He is a kinsman redeemer. Now remember, in terms of the timing of this, in the middle of the night, these are dangerous days in Israel. Even Boaz's men, who know that Boaz is a godly landowner and respond to his greeting by "the Lord be with you," they have to be reminded again and again not to assault Ruth. We could go back and look at verses 8 and 9 or 15 and 16 in chapter 2 and notice that Boaz too has also warned Ruth not to glean in other fields. These are dangerous times, and all too many Israelites, as we've seen in the book of Judges, are acting exactly like pagans in regards to their treatment of women. Again, a New Testament example of something going on along these same lines for why Ruth goes in the darkness of the night. Remember Nicodemus in this very spiritually dark time in Israel when he goes to visit Jesus. When is it? It is as well in the darkness of the night because there is a lack of faithfulness to Israel's law and Israel's law keeper Jesus. And so it is much better to go, it's less distracting to go and talk to the Lord at night. And so, too, Ruth is to go to Boaz when she won't be seen by others. She will not be tempting others, reminding them of her availability and her willingness to be married. This is a conversation to be had in private between herself and the one kinsman redeemer who, by God's law, is authorized to marry her. This truth is only for her kinsman redeemer to know, that she is led by the Lord to express that she is available to be married, to be a provision for herself and for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so as we read verses 20 and 22 in chapter 2 leading up to our text, remember that Naomi has Ruth's best interest at heart. And as we see in verse 1, she has tremendous trust in Boaz as well, beginning in verse 20 of chapter 2. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." Again, the danger that Naomi has in mind when she encourages Ruth to interact with Boaz in this way. Verse 23, "So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law." Now, the key language in verse 1, "Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you?'" She praises the Lord that Boaz is a godly man, and she wants what's best for Ruth. And again, anything that would lead her to encourage Ruth to break God's law, and indeed to be a discouragement to Boaz as a godly kinsman redeemer, would be absolutely at tension with what is really going on in the text in the entire book of Ruth. Now, there are three options in terms of how Boaz could respond to Ruth coming to him in this way. Number one, he could wake up and think that she was a prostitute. Now, this happened all too often in the promised land in these days of Judges. They would go around to the threshing floors in Canaan during the harvest season. The men of the land would sleep near their grain because, again, lawlessness was rampant in the land, and they would keep, this would be a way to keep their grain from being stolen. And so the cult prostitutes of the pagan houses of worship and debauchery would go around to the threshing floors at night. But again, of course, this is the opposite of what Naomi wants for her daughter-in-law, or what she wants for and what she wants for Boaz. Now, the second option, he could wake up and realize who she is and be appalled that there is some even a hint of immorality. He could think upon her as a Moabitess who is now living out of her pagan roots and not out of a transformed and godly faith in the God of Israel and in submission to his holy law by faith. Again, an option that is not on Naomi's mind. The third option, and again, this expresses indeed the faith that Naomi has in Boaz's testimony as a man who loves the living God. He could respond as a godly Israelite and treat Ruth and God's law regarding kinsmen redeemers and marriage with grace. That's what's going on in the text. That this is a safe way for Ruth to have a conversation with a man who is all too rare in Israel in these days. And of course, the application is so transparent, we don't even need to state it. Boaz is a man who treats the women of the Lord indeed with purity. He worships and fears the Lord his God, and that will inform the way that he interacts with a covenant daughter of the living God. Naomi knows this, Ruth knows this, and indeed that's Ruth's confidence in her God and God's ability indeed to keep a man sanctified like Boaz, as she says in absolute obedience, "All that you say I will do." Now, as we transition to verses 6 through 13, that's a profound statement of faith. Remember where Ruth has come from. Indeed, she is a Moabitess. She was raised with the pagans, and indeed, the pagan immorality, the prostitutes that roamed around the threshing floors in Canaan and Moab both, indeed, were very much called prostitutes from the pantheon of goddesses and gods of Moab. But yet, as she trusted God to be her God, the God of Israel, to be her God through Naomi, when she left Moab to go to Bethlehem with her, so she trusts God to be a faithful God to her now, as she obeys the counsel of her godly mother-in-law in this situation where Boaz is counted on to live out his faith in the darkness of the night, just as he does in public when he is in front of the eyes of his workers and the fellow residents of Bethlehem as a leader within that community in the promised land. And notice verse 9. Naomi is right. Her faith in God and God's ability to keep a man pure is evident as we see Boaz's response to realizing Ruth is there, not knowing who she is, lying at his feet. Now remember the anointing that goes on in verses 1 through 5. He would be able to see that perfume. And again, that's not something to seduce. It is something to communicate in terms of the lay of the land, the fact that she is no longer in mourning. But again, for the first time, it is appropriate for her now to express that she is in a place and she has been encouraged by her covenant mother-in-law, indeed, to make plain that she is available to be married in the law of kinsmen redeemers. And notice that as he asks in shock, who is this? He is not enthusiastic at the idea of a woman lying at his feet. He is greatly encouraged by Ruth's words. And again, notice how Ruth responds. Her first words to Boaz express that she is looking at marriage in the context of purity as well. When he asks, verse 9, who are you? And she answers, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Remember the words of chapter 2, verse 12. Just look over on that same page. Boaz's words to Ruth that she is reminding him of even now. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. She hearkens back to Boaz's expression that it is the Lord, indeed, who will spread his wings over Ruth. And now Ruth's language to Boaz indicates that she has the same faith in the same God, and indeed her same desire to, by faith, live in obedience to the law and its blessing when it comes to marriage, kinsman redemption, and purity. And in that encouragement, we look at verses 10 through 12, how thankful Boaz is to, for a second time, praise the Lord for the faith of this covenant Israelite, not by blood, but nonetheless by faith in Israel's God. Listen to that language again, starting in verse 10. May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Boaz is affirming that all that Ruth has done has been right. It has been pure, and it has been a profound expression of faith in the God of Boaz and the God of Naomi and the God who is her God, her personal Savior. And then verse 12, as Boaz again respects the law and is eager to keep the law by faith to the glory of the promises of Messiah. Now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. And so he gives the command to remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. And again, a concept that is rich all throughout Ruth, the blessing of waiting upon the Lord. There is no sense of urgency that demands a violation of God's law. Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, all three, they are very eager to look to God's word to inform the way that they interact with covenant marriage in a time and in a place where marriage and purity is all too often winked at, even within the covenant people of God. Boaz recognizes here that, again, she is counting on Boaz in dangerous times when women are treated as objects and possessions and not as daughters of the living God, to treat her in a godly way in accordance with the law, and indeed in a way that's consistent with her character and with his. And Boaz is greatly encouraged. And again, the application of the text to our day and age almost goes without saying, and anecdotally, all of you know this to be true, that indeed if you treat those of the opposite gender with the respect and the purity of the holy word of God, blessing upon blessing ensues. It is always an encouragement in a day and in an age, much like the book of Judges, where again the lies of the enemy scream at all of this, that again we should treat those of the opposite gender with profound disrespect and very selfishly in the context of using as opposed to honoring, respecting, and submitting to both God and to what is best for the other person within a potential relationship. That brings us to verses 14 and 15. And again, the purity of the covenant, the purity of the gospel is very front and center. Again, God is very much behind directing the decisions of his covenant people throughout the text. And so it is here. And note that the most important issue for Ruth, for Naomi and Boaz, is that the God of Israel be glorified. and how wonderful it is that indeed the God of Israel has a special love for the orphan and for the widow. And we've already seen that as Boaz recognizes that and lives that out as he has cared for Ruth in her gleaning. Everyone in the book of Ruth knows of God's special love for those who are widows and those who are orphans. And indeed, Boaz recognizes that he is the means for the Lord to provide for two widows, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, within covenant Israel. So it's very important as we see what happens in verses 14 and 15. He does not wait to provide for her until he can marry her. He provides for her here as he does in chapter 2. She continues to be until he knows if it's God's will for him to marry her. She is a sister in Christ in the Old Testament, in Old Testament context. She is as deserving of provision as he is, as they share a spiritual bond of faith in the Messiah, regardless of whether they get married or whether they don't. Boaz provides for her here, not knowing if it is God's will for him to marry her. As again, that bond is not specific to marriage alone, but indeed that blessed unity of faith and of fellowship within the covenant of grace. And of course, as Boaz is eager to submit to God's law, eager to be a means of the Lord to be a blessing to a widow, this drives us to Christ. And as he, in a powerful way that only he can and did, expresses indeed the profound love for widows such as these within the one gospel of grace throughout time. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. We'll read just verses 11 through 17. Verse 11 of Luke chapter 7. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Indeed, the blessing of the closeness of Christ to those who need him most, and indeed that's all of us, but how manifest that is for the widow, for the orphan. Now, key language as it applies to our text, verse 16, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. Now, turn back to Ruth chapter 1 and read verse 6 at the beginning of the book. With the same gospel, and indeed the same Messiah, only in a foreshadowing sense. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. Again, the visitation of the Lord, the Lord's closeness to his people, the profound expression of his love. And again, physically, there is provision here, but it is always in the perfect mercy ministry of the church here in Ruth. Again, the physical provision takes its appropriate place in the eternal blessings of the covenant from one generation to the next. Indeed, the spiritual food given to Ruth, who was spiritually starving until she became a part of the covenant, as God sovereignly brought her back in the train of Naomi into the promised land and the blessings and the promises of the covenant. Now that does bring us to the close of the text in verses 16 through 18. And indeed, as she brings back the six measures of barley, Boaz is eager to continue to provide for her, just for who she is as a covenant daughter, as a sister in the covenant, not knowing what the outcome of seeking the Lord's will for marriage will be, that six measures equals about 30 pounds. And again, time and again, through physical provision, we are blessed to see that God always provides exceedingly abundantly. God honored Naomi's wisdom regarding Boaz to Ruth. And so, as is often the case, as widows and orphans are cared for in the church, it is not just a blessing to them, but it's a blessing to the whole church family. And here it is as well. As Naomi asks, how did you fare with that covenant language of my daughter? Ruth is no longer the pagan Moabitess that she wishes would stay back in the land of the pagans. She now realizes the fruits of Ruth's faith. And she has that bond, indeed, that is deeper than blood, as again, they are a mother and daughter by faith. And it is a blessing in terms of the application. Covenant children, remember to do what Ruth does here. She is young in her faith. She is a Moabitess. She has all the challenges and all the lies that she heard in a pagan culture, in a pagan world. And so she seeks counsel from a covenant elder, her mother-in-law, within the church. And how sad it is that it's all too often within the church that covenant children do not have the words at the tip of their tongue that Ruth has to Naomi, her covenant mother-in-law. What you say, I will do. That was Ruth's testimony by word, and look at the blessing for her by deed as she responded faithfully to what Naomi instructed her to do. And again, at the close of the chapter, we see God's blessing upon her as she is provided for, she is cared for. Spiritually, her faith is nurtured, she is growing in her sanctification as the Lord provides her all the way around. And again, that language, and again, that continues throughout the book of the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. Boaz is waiting upon the Lord. And again, now this is Naomi, a covenant mother-in-law, to her daughter-in-law. Verse 18, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. And indeed, Boaz is called to be the covenant head of his home. And Naomi knows much about Boaz, and that what she knows has been confirmed with all the events that have transpired. She knows that Boaz will recognize the same character in Ruth that she does. She loves Ruth as a daughter, and she recognizes that Boaz, being a man of faith, is the same vibrant faith of Ruth, and that he will look at her with the eyes of faith, as again, not by sight, as Ruth has done the same to him. Blessing to reflect, to remember verse 10 within the text, and why Boaz affirms Ruth. She did not go after young men, either poor or rich. The implication is that she obviously is not going to Boaz because she's trying to find any other response than the godly response. If she was trying to seduce, she could go all over the place within Canaan, within the promised land in the time of Judges, and she would have gotten a very response. Boaz recognizes that he comes to her because, again, she is looking for a spiritual response to redemption and her need for redemption. And again, by the same token, we see that Ruth is looking at Boaz as well with eyes of faith, and Boaz is looking at her with the same. And so it is, as he recognized Ruth's character, as she looks at him with the eyes of faith, Naomi sees that Boaz too will look at Ruth the exact same way. Indeed, seeing her godly character, seeing her talk about taking refuge under God's wing, even as he has commended her for in their previous conversation, indeed, he knows, again, the depth of her faith, and so Naomi is exactly right. Boaz, seeing the faith of Ruth, is very, very eager to seek the Lord's will when it comes to covenant marriage. But there is that balance. He is eager. Again, he will take care of this day. But he will nonetheless wait upon the Lord and deal with this possibility of marriage in a way that honors God's law and honors God's grace. And so remember that Ruth did not have marriage in mind when she accompanied Naomi to Bethlehem. This is the key to the whole text. The thing to walk away from tonight as you go home is the words of Jesus. As he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Look, as we close, at verses 16 through 18 of Ruth chapter 1, as we see the fruition of this text coming near as we go further and further in the book. Ruth's testimony of faith does not have marriage in mind, but Ruth said, verse 16 of chapter 1, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. What a blessing it is when, like Ruth, as you seek the kingdom of God first, if the Lord has marriage in mind, again, He will put it in front of you in His timing and in His perfect way. How good it is to see God bless Ruth as she sought first in chapter 1 the kingdom of God. And now marriage is on the horizon in God's timing and in God's way. It may be in God's plan, it may not be. But again, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz at this point, they are doing what we are blessed to do this night. They are waiting upon the Lord who provides. He's providing for them, and He's providing for you. Praise Him in His holy name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be a part of the bride of Christ in whatever stage of life, in whatever family context You bless us to be in. And Father, we thank You for Ruth's faith. We thank You for Boaz, for Naomi, that in a text that the world is all too eager to twist into cultural paradigms, indeed that are in rebellion to Your holy law, thank You for the faith that is evident here. Thank You for the confidence in Boaz as a covenant Israelite man by two covenant widows, indeed, who seek Him, indeed, to live in submission to Your law, and indeed, to live out the grace and the mercy of the gospel, and to treat them as they are, as covenant sisters, daughters of You, the living God. Father, may our response to brothers and sisters in Christ be the same. Indeed, may we seek first the kingdom of God in all our relationships. And indeed, as we wait upon You, give You glory as You bless. Thank You for providing for all our needs on this day. And Father, thank You for providing our needs for all eternity. Thank You that as Ruth and Naomi praised You for Boaz, we praise You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He has come and fulfilled all that Boaz or any other redeemer in the Old Testament age ever was, a foreshadowing of Christ, the Redeemer, for all eternity. Thank You for hearing our prayers in His name, our kinsman redeemer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.